Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining our monthly Conscious Dating Teleseminar.
Wait. Okay, we're recording right now.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome and thank you for joining our monthly Conscious Dating Teleseminar. And this seminar series is designed to help you find the love of your life and the life that you love. So please mark your calendar and be sure to join us on the first Thursday of each month for some outstanding one-of-a-kind programs you won't want to miss. We're not sure what the time will be, but if we change it, we'll certainly let you know. Anyway, tonight our topic is conscious dating, managing the internal conversation between the inner critic and the inner voice. And if you don't have the outline for tonight's call, it is available in PDF format, and you can go to www.consciousdatingseminar.com and print off a copy. The outline will just make it easier for you to follow along and take some notes. I'm Frankie Dorn, the president of Relationship Coaching Network, and my co-presenter is David Steele, who's the founder of Relationship Coaching Institute and the author of Conscious Dating, Finding the Love of Your Life in Today's World. In tonight's program, we'll discuss the internal dialogue, and this is the real-time conversation you have with yourself about everything that's happening in your life and the world around you. And it can be very positive and encouraging, or it can be negative and sabotaging. And have you ever wondered why your inner dialogue is sometimes supportive and at other times actually quite disruptive and upsetting? Well, the truth is that these thoughts you have that form the inner conversations come from two distinct sources. One is your inner voice, and that provides unerring guidance to help keep you on track with your goals and dreams. While the other is your inner critic, and that's the voice that presents obstacles and limiting beliefs that will keep you from those dreams. And unfortunately for most people, the inner critic's strong negative voice is often so overpowering, it prevents them from taking action and achieving their goals. So this seminar tonight is going to reveal how you can take control of those internal conversations and create the life that you want, which is very important. So tonight you'll learn the origins and workings of the inner critic and the inner voice. You'll learn why one will never, ever lie to you, while the other one will always mislead you, and how you can easily identify which one is in charge of the conversation, why habitual behavior is a key to retraining the inner critic, eliminating your limiting beliefs, and accelerating the law of attraction. And then finally, the five-step process for controlling your inner conversations and ultimately your life. We do have control over our life. So this seminar, I hope, is going to shed some light on that. We'll be recording this teleseminar, as David said, so if you'd like to receive the audio file and a complete written transcript, again, you can go to www.consciousdatingseminar.com after this the call is over, and you can take care of that. Tonight's seminar is approximately an hour in length, and it includes a question and answer period at the end, so if you have questions, please make note of them, and we'll try to answer them. David, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, correction.
Okay.
To get the audio, you need to go to ConsciousDatingAudio.com. That's ConsciousDating, A-U-D-I-O, ConsciousDatingAudio.com. There is a link to that page on the seminar page. After the seminar, though, it'll be gone. It'll disappear. So ConsciousDatingAudio.com.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for making that correction, David. Okay. Well, first I'd like to clarify that I believe we have two distinct voices that communicate with us. There may even be more, but at least there's two distinct voices. And many people think it's one voice from one source. So you may hear people use the term inner critic or inner voice as though they were interchangeable, but they're really not. So I'll spend a few minutes just talking about the difference between the two. And let's start with the inner critic. This
by
is the
way,
voice.
For those listening, mm-hmm. I just would like you to know that, like you, I am kneeling at the Master's feet right now, because I didn't learn any of this stuff in school. So I'm learning along with you for the first time what the difference is between the inner critic and the inner voice. This is all Frankie right now, so take it away, Frankie.
Well, well, we'll see at the end of it if anyone has learned anything about the two voices. But I have a lot of experience around this this subject, so
I can't wait to hear.
Okay, well, let's talk about the inner critic, because this is the voice within that criticizes us and causes emotional distress. And the anguish caused by the inner critic is always a basic factor in low self-esteem and is often a major impediment to any growth or change. And the thing about the inner critic is it speaks with such overwhelming authority about things that are based on a limiting belief. And it's a voice that's critical, judgmental, negative, and it always makes you feel bad. Like when you hear the inner critic's voice, it's not a pleasant feeling that comes out of that. And it's responsible for a great many of the difficulties commonly experienced in relationships and in our lives in general. It's the voice that says, you know, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, and it's perfected telling you how limited you are. So I'm sure everyone recognizes that voice when I explain, you know, what it says, the types of things it says. Now, the inner critic, in my view, is really the voice of your subconscious mind. And if you know anything about the subconscious mind, you know that it is really the seat of all learned behaviors, attitudes, beliefs, memories, interpretations, and experiences. And the subconscious is a very powerful processor. It works 24/7, and it controls the beliefs that dictate how we live our lives. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the traits of the subconscious, but it's really like a mega processor, and it doesn't rationalize. It just accepts data as fact based on its experiences. And all of us in our lives, in our youth and in adolescence, have conscious and unconscious memories of all the times we felt bad or wrong, and these are the scars that we developed. And this is where the inner critical voice really gets started, because it accepts as truth other people's opinions about who we are. And that's the genesis of our limiting beliefs. So the critic's voice that develops within us as children really echoes the concerns and opinions of our parents, schools, church, peers, you know, other people who are important to us. So it's not surprising when I ask my clients to try to identify the voice of their inner critic, they often realize it sounds amazingly like one of their parents. You know, that's not a surprise. So this realization is a huge eye-opener, and it's something you may want to pay attention to when your inner critic speaks to you. Who does it sound like? Does it sound like your father or your mother saying, you know, you're just not smart enough, you just will never succeed, whatever else the voice is telling you? So this whole process of development forms and supports our primary selves, and it determines who we believe we are in the world and how we relate to it. So for instance, if our primary self is what we consider as a responsible parent, well, the inner critic will criticize any thoughts or actions that don't conform to its idea of what a responsible parent is. So such as being maybe selfish or indulgent or irresponsible or frivolous. So you can imagine the guilt a responsible parent would feel if she considered getting away from the kids and her hubby for a spa weekend. You know, she may well deserve it. And the inner critic would likely raise concerns about how inappropriate, how indulgent and selfish, not to mention financially irresponsible this would be, and probably toss in, and you're not a good mother either. You know, so that's the kind of dialogue that happens when the inner critic is speaking. We all have limiting beliefs that are buried in the subconscious mind, and they are voiced, as I said, by the inner critic. But these limiting beliefs, and this is what's really important, are not in alignment with what we want at a conscious level for most of us. And because of the processing power of this subconscious mind, and because it's always working, it can be very, very difficult to overcome our limiting beliefs. And so this is very important to understand, and it explains why so many people who genuinely want to make changes in their lives, they just can't seem to do it.
Okay, so Frankie, on this study guide on page 2, where we describe the inner critic, let's help people fill in the blanks. So the inner critic, the inner critic is the voice within that that criticizes us, that's the blank, that criticizes us.
And causes emotional distress.
Causes us emotional distress.
Yeah.
It speaks with overwhelming authority about things that are based on a limiting belief, is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a voice that always makes you feel bad.
Feel bad. The inner critic is the voice of the
subconscious mind.
Okay, I got that one.
Yeah.
Which is the seed of, you see, I'm learning too here. The seed of all learned behaviors, attitudes, beliefs, memories, and interpretations and experiences.
Right.
The inner critic's original function is to protect us from the,
From being found as less than we should be.
Okay. Protect us from the and the blank. From the blank and the blank.
Oh, heck, David, you know what? I changed that, so. Let's strike that out.
Okay. The limiting beliefs that are buried in the subconscious mind and voiced by the inner critic are generally not in
alignment with what we want.
With what we want at a conscious level.
Yeah.
Okay, and the next is about the inner voice. We haven't gotten
Yes,
that.
So we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Okay.
So, David, did you want to give an example about some of the limiting beliefs and how that works?
Well, sure. I would, you know, think that since this is a conscious dating seminar, that we might want to talk about a relationship. And if you want to be in a loving relationship, and you have a limiting belief, for example, that you don't deserve to be loved. And I don't, you know, you can have this belief, like I know I have it, but intellectually you don't really believe it, you don't really own it. You don't believe that you believe it, but man, if you look at your behavior and look at your choices over time, you know, apparently you must believe it, because only somebody that believes they don't deserve to be loved would make those kinds of choices. So until you really understand and get that you hold this belief, and only then can you alter it. And, you know, it's really impossible to be successful with a limiting belief. What you believe you can't achieve, and vice versa. And if you believe you don't deserve to be loved, then you will, you know, you'll bring that into your relationships. It will color all your relationship choices and behaviors and actions. And it's going to be self-fulfilling. You won't be loved. Somebody's not going to want to be with you. You're going to be dumped. You're going to be left behind. You're going to have lots of conflict because you hold that belief. And only when you're able to turn that around and truly believe that you deserve to have a wonderful relationship will you have a loving, fulfilling relationship. So no matter how much you consciously want the relationship of your dreams, you will, believe me, I've done it, you will undermine having it if you hold these limiting beliefs.
Absolutely.
So, Frankie, tell us about the inner voice now.
Well, the inner voice is very different from the inner critic in that it's a very quiet, confident voice, and it comes from deep within us. And its job is to provide us with guidance. And some people call it intuition or instinct, while others call it our inner or spiritual guidance system. But whatever you call it, most people do recognize their inner voice, just as they recognize their inner critic. They know the difference. But with the inner voice, it usually speaks softly, and it's unerringly right. Remember, your intuition is never wrong, although your interpretation of it may sometimes be incorrect. And it is usually the voice that you sometimes don't listen to when you know you should. And you think about this, David. How often have you said, I wish I'd listened to my instincts? Now, because it always proved correct. And so its message is never wrong or misleading. Now, the inner voice will help keep you on track with your goals and your life vision because it's in complete alignment with what you want. And when your intuition calls to you, it's important that you trust it. And the more you pay attention to your intuition, just like anything else, you know, practice makes perfect, the more you pay attention, the easier it will be for you to hear it. But you have to sometimes still your mind to hear it because it's not screaming. It's not standing on the top of a hill with a flag and screaming at you. It's a very soft, quiet voice, and it demands that you pay attention to it because it deserves attention. Okay.
Well, this is not fair because the inner critic is usually pretty loud and insistent. You know, you can hear that loud and clear.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
The inner voice is soft.
That's right. Okay. And though the other thing I wanted to say about the inner voice is that even though it's mostly soft-spoken, sometimes it will present itself as a very loud, insistent voice. And these are times when you are in danger. And that's when, you know, if we're smart, we will listen without question because there's no time to consider the options. And instinctively, we know we need to trust this voice and we need to act immediately. And I'd like to share a personal experience I had with this. I have had lots, but this one really, even though it was 25 years ago, it still is as fresh as yesterday. I was on an out-of-town job with an associate, and, you know, we'd worked all day without a break for lunch, and it was about 8:30 on a winter's night. We still had about a three-hour drive, and we were ravenous. I mean, we were so hungry, as you can imagine. So we decided to pull off the freeway and get something to eat in one of the little towns en route home. Well, we came to a burger chain that was pretty empty. There were no customers except us. We ordered our food, and we just sat down to eat when two young men came into the restaurant. Well, one went right to the counter, and the other went to the restroom. And I remember so vividly looking down at my hamburger, and I was salivating. I was so hungry. And it just looked so delightful. I was just famished. And then I heard a voice, and it said, "Get out now," just like that. It was so loud, David. And I was stunned. And I have to tell you that for a second, I debated whether to ignore it and just eat. You know, I really did. I had that moment of, gosh, this hamburger looks so good, but darn, that voice was so loud. So I decided, I grabbed my purse and I said to my partner, "We have to leave now." And he was stunned too. He just looked at me. He was raising his hamburger to his lips. And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Stay and die or leave right now." And we literally bolted from the restaurant. We left the food steaming on the table. And as we drove off, the second man emerged from the restroom, and I saw they both had pistols. So we drove to the next restaurant, and we had them call the police. And it turns out that these two men had held up two other fast food restaurants. They took the employees into the back, and they shot them. And what's so chilling about this story is that 25 years ago in Canada, like, armed robbery was unheard of. Yet I knew from the second those two guys walked into the restaurant that everyone was in danger. And there was no outward indication, you know, they were just two young men. But I simply knew. But when I didn't react quickly enough, because that knowingness came from my inner voice saying, "Hey, something's wrong here," you know, in a soft little voice. When I didn't react quickly enough, my inner voice didn't mince words. It said very clear, very loud, "Get out now." And so we need to pay attention to those two voices, you know, whether it's the inner critic or the inner voice, because no matter how loud or soft, we need to understand they have unique messages, and they can both provide us with some very valuable information about what's going on in our lives. And by paying attention and making some informed choices and taking action, we can create the life that we truly, truly desire.
Wow. What a story.
I get chills when I think about it, David.
Well, you are a good person to have around. So, okay, so let's fill in the blanks on the inner voice on page 2. Inner voice is that quiet, confident voice that comes from deep within. Okay.
Okay? And his job it is
to provide
us with guidance.
Guidance.
Yep.
Some people call it intuition or instinct, while others call it our inner or spiritual guidance system. It usually speaks
softly
and is
unerringly right.
Unerringly right.
Yep.
Remember, your intuition is never
wrong,
although your interpretation of it may sometimes be
incorrect,
cocky,
yes.
Off, approximating. So your inner voice will help keep you on track with your
life vision and goals
because
it's in
complete alignment with what you want. So the next line is, if you begin to feel distressed, discouraged, or unhappy as a result of an internal conversation, be assured that it is the inner voice speaking.
The inner critic, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And if you
the
feel happy,
critic.
Yeah, and if you
Right.
feel happy and confident and encouraged to stay on your path, that's the inner voice.
Okay, well, that's worth repeating. Let me do that again,
yeah.
Especially for the recording. If you begin to feel distressed, discouraged, or unhappy as a result of an internal conversation, the voice going on in your head,
yep.
Be assured that it is the inner critic speaking. If you're feeling distressed, discouraged, and unhappy. If you feel happy, confident, and encouraged to stay on your path and have thoughts about taking positive action, you're definitely listening to your inner voice.
Right.
Very cool. Thank you, Frankie.
You're welcome.
All right, what's next?
Well, you want to talk a little bit about what we did last month, the life vision, how it all ties in here?
Okay. Well, last month, we discussed your life vision and why prioritizing yourself is the key to realizing that vision. When you're clear about your vision and your goals, it's like having a roadmap for how you want to live your life and what you want to achieve. This roadmap is a necessary tool to help you stay on target with your objectives. So, having a clearly defined life vision can also help you determine whether your internal conversation is being led by your inner critic or inner voice. So that reminds me of my GPS system. So when I'm on track with my GPS system, everything's fine. When I make a wrong turn, the GPS system, it recalculates, and this bar goes across the top, and it's trying to help me get back on track. So if you, like Frankie was saying, if you begin to feel distressed or discouraged or unhappy, understand it's a result of the voice in your head that is your inner critic. And, I don't usually think of it this way. We have a voice going on in our head. And I just think it's very, very helpful to make a distinction between, is it coming from fear or the unproductive parts of you? And we definitely got them. And that's the inner critic. Or is it coming from your strength and your core and your essence and who you really are, and that's your inner voice. So if you feel distressed, discouraged, and unhappy, it's probably your inner critic. If you feel happy, confident, and encouraged, it's probably your inner voice. And if it yells at you, get out now, it's probably your inner voice.
Leave the hamburger and go.
I mean, your inner critic might criticize you for eating the hamburger. But your inner voice is going to take care of you. So how about some steps to help you determine which voice is speaking? So first, check in with your heart. Most of us, we know what our head is telling us. And to check in with your heart requires listening, requires, quieting your mind and feeling your body and paying attention to what your gut says, and you're paying attention to your experience. Your experience is the sensations you're having, what you, feel, what you taste, touch, what you hear, what you see, And, you know, your senses are limited, and your heart is going to pick up things that your senses will miss. And so check in with your heart, or if you want to call it your intuition or your inner voice or whatever it is, it's definitely not coming from your head. It's definitely not, you know, a voice talking to you. It's more of a gut feeling. And it's just vital information. And secondly, your body is where your truth lives. Check in with your body. It gives you a tremendous amount of information that if you're not paying attention to it, you really, you know, you won't know. So, for example, if your mother visits and your stomach's tied up in a knot, or your body is telling you something, and if you don't think about it or you're not aware of it, your stomach can be tied up in a knot and you can end up, not eating or overeating or getting a headache or not sleeping, and you won't even know why. But if you pay attention, you'll be very, very clear. Oh, mother's visiting. My stomach is tied up in knots. I am just uptight and uncomfortable right now. So your body will always tell you the truth. Listen to your body. And again, this is not verbal. This is not a voice in your head. However, we need to interpret what our body is telling us, just like we need to interpret what our heart is telling us. And your inner voice can help you interpret, because if your inner voice speaks to what's going on for you and it resonates for you, then it's probably, you know, true and coming from your inner voice. If your inner critic, you know, says, well, you shouldn't feel that way about your mother, what's the matter with you? And if you feel then bad about yourself and uncomfortable, then it's probably your inner critic. So your heart and your body will always tell you the truth, and we just need to tune into them. So your limiting beliefs, like Frankie said, is derived from what you've learned. Learned behaviors, memories, attitudes that are in your subconscious. So for the most part, you may not be aware of these limiting beliefs on a conscious level. If you believe that you don't deserve to be loved, chances are you're not aware that you hold that belief. In fact, these beliefs are often in direct opposition to what we consciously want. So here I am. I'm a relationship coach. I write books on relationships. I help people have successful relationships. I want a successful relationship for myself. It is totally against what I believe to think that I don't deserve to be loved. But this comes from way, way, way deep down, comes from childhood, comes from unhealed wounds and all that good stuff. And these beliefs will sabotage your attempts to connect with your life vision and achieve the life you want. So it's critical that you get in touch with what they are and deal with them and get rid of them. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So last time we also suggested some exercises to help you eliminate these beliefs. But you can get clues from your inner critic. Pay attention and become aware of the messages that you're receiving from your inner critic, because even though we don't want to believe it and we need to, you know, listen more to our inner voice and our inner critic, the inner critic plays a function. It reveals to you what you need to pay attention to, the subconscious, unproductive stuff that's operating inside you. So getting in touch with what that is actually a gift. It is actually a gift. So be open to what the inner critic is telling you, even though you might not like what it's saying, but it's, you know, revealing, it's giving you clues what you need to pay attention to, you know, to heal, to, you know, that is unproductive that you need to work on to become productive. So the key is awareness, and when you start to pay attention to your internal dialogue, then you can figure out what it means and what to do about it. So, some ways to help you spot a limiting belief include, you know, when you tell yourself that you only have one or two choices in a situation or no choice at all. Well, come on, that is never true. There are way more choices available to you than what you can see right in front of you. And it is never just one or two choices or no choice at all. However, Oftentimes, we will be in a situation and truly, truly believe that we only have only one or two choices, or we don't have a choice at all. That is a limiting belief right there, guaranteed. Also, if a decision appears to be black and white in either or situation, well, it's always gray. So if it appears to be black and white, chances are it's a limiting belief. Or let's say you've decided that this is just the way it is and you don't have control over it. If it's a situation that you don't like let's say, you know, you weigh more than you want, or let's say it's been, you know, 20 years since you've had a date or a relationship, and you're just giving up and say, well, it's never going to happen for me. This is just the way it is. I don't have control over this. I have no choice. Guaranteed, that's a limiting belief. Let's say you make a decision based on fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection. So let's say you get involved in a relationship that you know is not right for you, but you hang out because you don't believe anybody else will have you. That is either this relationship or nothing. And, you know, nobody who I want to be with would want to be with me. You know, that's a limiting belief. So if, you know, there are lots of limiting beliefs that hold us in situations like jobs or in relationships that really don't work for us because we fear failure. We fear, you know, well, if I don't have this, I'm going to hit bottom. There will be nothing after this. Or we fear rejection. Or let's say you feel a lack of clarity about a situation. You're not comfortable with it. You don't like it. You feel unclear about it. You feel confused. You're on the fence, and you're not quite sure what decision to make or what action to take. Well, guess what? Your inner voice always knows what to do. Your inner voice is always in total alignment with who you are and what you really want. Your inner critic is the one that's going to cause you to be on the fence and rationalize. Well, maybe this, maybe that, I don't know. You know, your inner voice will tell you what's true. And the decision is usually pretty clear. If you're on the fence or confused or you're not clear, it's your inner critic causing you to feel that way. So when we have important questions like, what do I want? What's the right choice for me to make? You know, consult your inner voice. And Frankie brilliantly explained to us how we can tell the difference between our inner voice and our inner critic. And hopefully she's going to tell us how to make the inner critic go away or be quiet so that we can listen to our inner voice. But we're getting ahead of ourselves here. So at the very least, just know that we need to listen to our inner voice. It'll always take care of you. It'll always tell you the truth. It'll always steer us in the right direction. It'll help us, you know, be happy, be fulfilled, find the love of our life, and have a great relationship.
Perfect.
So, Frankie, how about talking a little bit more about eliminating limiting beliefs and the inner critic? And
Do you want to do the study guide?
Let's catch up with where we are here.
Okay, so on page 2, number 2, so check in with your heart and connect with your body.
Yeah.
And then on page 3, ways to spot a limiting belief. You tell yourself you only have one or two choices or no choice at all. And a decision may be black or white. Black and white. Mm-hmm. And the next is you decided that this is the way it is and you have no control. And you make a decision based on fear. Mm-hmm. And you lack clarity. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the subconscious mind and the conscious mind. And I just want to say something, that this teleseminar is not about all the work that needs to happen to identify your limiting beliefs, because that's kind of understood here. We're saying that you're at this point now where you've recognized your limiting beliefs, and now you want to move forward and you want to retrain the subconscious mind to eliminate those limiting beliefs and basically then quiet the negative voice of the inner critic. So I think it's really important to understand the difference between the conscious and the subconscious minds before we get into what's the process of retraining. So for the subconscious mind, it's really an amazing processor. It's like this mega computer, as I said before, and it can process 4 billion bits of information per second.
Wow.
And, yeah, amazing. And, I mean, thank goodness it does that, because can you imagine trying to remember to breathe? We would have been dead a long time, you know, a long time ago. We wouldn't make it because we just couldn't consciously hold the thought of breathing and digestion and all the things that the subconscious handles. And it just does it, you know, like does multitasking, multiprocessing. It doesn't rationalize. So it's much like a computer. It's data in, data out. It functions 24/7. So that means it's constantly on. It's constantly working. Thank goodness, right? We can go to sleep knowing that we're going to be breathing while we sleep. But there's also something very important that I want to talk about a little bit later. I'll talk about it now. When you retrain the subconscious, you start to get it thinking in alignment with what you consciously want. You have this mega processor pushing out these thoughts into the universe, and that's going to start to accelerate the law of attraction, because you don't have to rely on just your conscious effort. You've got this processor that's doing it 24/7, you know. I'm successful, and it's just drawing, or I'm in a wonderful relationship, and it's just pulling that to you so much faster. As we talked about, the subconscious is really the seat of all memories, emotions, fears, behaviors, automatic responses, your defense mechanisms, your biases. And so it directly influences who you are and what you become through this accumulation of perceptions, programming, and conditioning. And it includes imagination and the creativity function and long-term memory. So it really is just this amazing system. And surprisingly enough, scientists are saying that it controls up to 99% of cognitive activity, which is mind-boggling. So I was thinking about that, David, and I thought, you know what? How many times have you been on the freeway? Do you honestly think that you are consciously aware that you're driving? You're not. Guess who's driving? It's the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, we check in consciously to look at the signs and say, oh, yeah, another 10 minutes to my destination, and then we go off to La La Land. Well, who's driving? The subconscious. So this makes a lot of sense. And obviously it regulates all the physiological repetitive activity like circulation, breathing, digestion, and all that good stuff. But here's something that is absolutely fascinating. Remember I said before, it doesn't rationalize. It's data in, data out. But it accepts data. It's very selective about where it accepts the data from. And it will base its perception of truth or fact if it gets data from one or of two sources. And the first source is if the conscious mind, if a thought is handed down to it from the conscious mind, it'll accept it as fact. Or it exists already in the subconscious mind's current database of experiences. So, you know, if you were called not smart when you were a kid, repetitively, it accepts that as a fact. You know, I'm not smart. Simple as that. I've been told 50 times, 1,000 times, it has to be a fact. So what is really interesting about this is the retraining comes is really applied to conscious, to the conscious mind, and how you communicate to the subconscious.
Yeah, so it sounds like the subconscious mind does not filter. It just takes in
exactly.
messages and believes them to be true.
Yes, yes, exactly. Now, in the retraining process, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, please remind me, David, to give an example once you've gone through it of how it can work in a real practical sense. Okay? So let's just switch to the conscious mind. It processes 2,000 bits of information per second. And even as I'm saying that, like I feel so much slower and it's, you know, it's not as fast. It's just, whereas the subconscious, you know, 4 billion bits per second, that's just humming along and, you know, all sorts of things are happening. But with the conscious mind, it's more, it's slower and it's fully reasoning. And it's only present when you're consciously aware of and paying attention to something. So it's not always there in the moment. And it makes one decision at a time. And it's restricted in that it can only pay attention to a limited number of things at a time. I'm not even going to talk about women and multitasking and men who can't. Okay, we won't even talk about that.
We don't need to.
And it is the seat of cognizant recognition of images, thoughts, impressions, sounds, that type of thing. But as I said before, the best part of the conscious mind is that it can control the subconscious. When it holds on to a thought, the subconscious mind will eventually, and that's the key, eventually accept it as an instruction or as truth. And then it will follow with that truth because it is a perceived fact in the subconscious mind. Is that making sense?
So the conscious mind can control the subconscious mind by what messages you choose to give it.
Yes.
Because the subconscious mind can't filter.
Right.
And the conscious mind
can't. I'm going to go to the example now.
Okay.
Let's say I wanted to, I don't know. Let's say I wanted to lose 20 pounds. So in my subconscious is saying, you're fat, you're fat, you're fat. So now I recognize that is a limiting belief. And so my new belief is I'm slim and fit. You know, that's my new paradigm. Well, the first time that I say that, the subconscious is going to say, yeah, you're fat. Okay? So you have to, there's a repetitive element to this. You can't just give up. You may need to say it 50 times. Every time, you know, the your fat comes up as the inner critic, you have to say, I am, and whatever the new paradigm is. So the first week, or the, it may be 50 times that you have to retrain, go through this retraining process. The second week, it may be 30. The third week, it may be 20. In a month, it may be only 10 times. So what you're doing is you're actually through repetitive process retraining. And I think I've stolen some of your thunder, David, but that's kind of the process. So don't get discouraged when you get flack from the subconscious mind that says, hey, that's not true. You know, you are fat or whatever it is. So I just want to recap about the subconscious because it's really important to understand some of these key elements because that will help you in your communication with it and help you with the retraining. So it only thinks in present time. So there's no future or past in terms of the subconscious. Everything is right now. So when you're communicating, you need to consider that. It thinks literally. Okay? It can be given tasks by the conscious mind. It visualizes, it sees things in images. It's always working, and it records everything it sees and hears. So as in my previous example, even though you don't think it's receiving the I'm slim and fit, it is receiving it. It's recording it. It's seeing it. It's hearing it. It may be giving you a different picture, and that's based on its existing limiting belief. But it is recording what you're saying, and that's why the more you do it, the less frequent the objection to the new paradigm. So what does this really mean? It means that If you know how to communicate with the subconscious mind, you can change the way it thinks, okay, by substituting negative thoughts with positive thoughts, and by visualizing what you want. And the more habitual the process, the faster the retraining. And the second part of this is you need to format those thoughts in the present tense, because that's all it gets. Everything is now. You know, I am right now. It's its only term of reference. So when you think, you know, I will be 20 pounds lighter, it can accept that, because that's, you know, that's something that's not now, so it doesn't have to really deal with it. And it's a future point. So you're it's like the law of attraction. You're pulling a will be, a future point, but it never really comes into the present. So that's why it's really important when you're reframing what you want, that you talk in the present tense, like I am, or I have, or I do. And then, as I mentioned earlier, you know, just harnessing, once you get this the subconscious retrained, harnessing the processing power 24/7 to send out the positive thoughts, these new positive thoughts, you're going to accelerate the law of attraction, and you're going to bring what you want into your life much faster. And the really good news here is that the retraining of the subconscious to support your conscious goals is a process that anyone can apply. It's a very, very simple process, but the key is being habitual and about applying those steps. And that's where people have a problem, because, you know, even though the process is simple, you have to keep applying it until it works. And some really interesting findings, new scientific findings, show that the brain circuitry is wired as the individual develops, but it can be rewired by conscious thought of that individual. So in other words, we can change our own patterns of thought and behavior by our own self-directed will. And the evidence of this is, the evidence of this is observable in actual physical changes in the neural pathways of the brain. And these new circuits can become fixed, and they can replace the previous pathway. So you can, there is scientific proof, you can change the way you think, and it does affect your brain. So you want to talk about the five...
If the conscious mind can retrain the subconscious mind...
Yes.
Just by choosing to do it and doing it over and over and over again.
Yes.
You know, I deserve to be loved. I deserve to be loved. I deserve to be loved. I am slim and fit. I am slim and fit. I am slim
yes.
and fit. Over and over again until you retrain your subconscious mind to believe it, and then the law of attraction helps it happen.
Yeah.
So on page 3 of the study guide, section 4, the subconscious mind processes 4 billion bits of information per second, functions 24/7, is the seat of all your memories, emotions,
yeah.
fears, behaviors, etc., and directly influences who you are and what you become, and accepts facts to be true based on only one of two criterion, that it's a thought from your conscious mind or it's in your past experiences. So section 5, your conscious mind processes 2,000 bits of information per second, a lot less than 4 billion, and it's fully reasoning, meaning that it thinks and analyzes, is present when you're consciously aware of and paying attention to something. It makes one decision at a time, and it can control the subconscious. So down at the bottom there on page 3, in summary, the subconscious thinks in
present time.
Time only, okay.
Yeah. Thinks literally.
Literally.
Yeah. Can be given tasks.
Task by the conscious mind.
Yeah. Visualizes. Yeah. Always working.
It's always working, huh?
Yeah.
It handles thousands of processes at a time, okay.
Yeah. And records everything it sees or hears. I think, David, I would like to share this image I have of the conscious and the subconscious. I think it's worthwhile. Just take a minute.
Okay.
Do you recall at county fairs where they would have this huge, usually a beer wagon, with six draft horses pulling it? Is that an image that you're familiar with?
Well, like the Budweiser beer wagon?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So
I haven't seen it at county fairs, but I've seen it on television.
Okay. So that's a very powerful image. Imagine those horses running down a road pulling that wagon. And who's going to stand in front of it? Nobody. Okay? That's the power of the subconscious mind. Now, imagine on the seat, the seat of the wagon, there's an eight-month-old baby. And that baby has the reins of all six horses draped over her pinky finger. Okay? When that baby crooks her finger, those horses stop on a dime. Okay? That baby is the conscious mind. That's the power of the conscious mind over the subconscious. When you know how to crook your finger. And so the process you're going to talk about now is the crooking of the finger, the control that the subconscious has, or the conscious has over the subconscious.
Okay. That's a great metaphor. So let's pull the reins of that darn subconscious. We can rewire our thinking in five steps. So the first is become aware of your limiting beliefs. Pay attention to your internal dialogue. Decipher the meaning of what's going on inside you. Identify your limiting beliefs. Write them down, for crying out loud. You know, it becomes much more real to you if you write it down. Don't just keep it in your head. Externalize it by writing it down. So let's say you have the limiting belief that I'm not very good at meeting new people because I'm afraid they'll reject me. And you might want to reframe that limiting belief and change it into something positive. What do you want to believe? I am confident and enjoy meeting new people. And like Frankie said, the more you tell yourself this, the more you will retrain your subconscious mind to believe it. And it doesn't have any filters, so it's going to believe it. So step two, catch and cancel the limiting belief. Be aware every time that the inner critic speaks, just cancel it out by saying, no, that is not true, and then remind yourself what the truth is. So step one, become aware of your limiting belief. Step two, catch and cancel that limiting belief. Step three, state a new belief, you know, the truth as you want it to be. One that's in alignment with your vision and with your goals. I'm confident and I enjoy meeting new people. You know, use present tense. Remember, the subconscious only thinks in present tense. So step three is state the new limiting belief. And then step four, repeat the process. Like Frankie was saying, you need to say this to yourself over and over and over to retrain the subconscious mind. Repeat it as often as needed. You know, in the first week, chances are you'll have to do this 50 times a day, and then by the time the second week rolls around, it's going to be less, and after that, it'll be less and less and less. And if you wanted to prove this, you can actually record it, and you'll see, you know, that, you know, measurable results. You know, we guarantee it, right, Frankie?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Step five, set aside time for affirmations. So your new beliefs are your affirmations. And set aside time to, you know, work on those, repeat those, really, you know, get them into your bones, live it. And you'll be creating new neural pathways, like Frankie was saying, that will help you stay in a positive frame of mind. And this is habituating yourself. We are creatures of habit. And, you know, it takes a while to learn a new habit, but once we've learned it, it becomes very, very natural and we don't think about it anymore. So the way to do this is you set aside time every day to get in touch with your vision and your goals. And probably in the morning when you just wake up is a good time to do that, you know, before you get out of bed. You know, lay there in bed and remind yourself what your vision is of what you want to accomplish, what you want for your life and your relationship, and what your goals are for that day and that week, that month, that year, you know, before you even get out of bed. And every evening when you're in bed, you know, laying there before you go to sleep, do the same thing. Remind yourself what your vision and goals are. You know, what a great way to program yourself. And if this is a regular daily practice, you will accelerate the process of eliminating limiting beliefs, and you will silence that inner critic. You know, you can, you know, pull back on the reins. You can have control, you know, by doing this very, very simple system. So what happens here is when you focus on your goals, you attract what you think about, right? That's the law of attraction. So the more you think about it, here you are, laying in bed in the morning, laying in bed at night, the more you think about it, what you do want and what you are going to create, then you attract that, you manifest it, and you are spending an awful lot less time on, you know, what you don't want, and the inner critic is not going to get in your way. The law of attraction will work for you. So the five steps are: become aware of your limiting beliefs, catch and cancel that limiting belief, say, no, that is not true, then state the new limiting belief, repeat the process, and set aside time for affirmations at least once a day, preferably twice. Probably in bed is a nice time to do that. While meditating is another nice time to do that. So five steps to eliminating your limiting beliefs. That's a tongue twister.
Yeah, and the key with the habituality of this is that you pick the time of day or the place where you are going to always do this, so that just being there, you know, whether it's getting into bed or whether it's going into meditation or going into the shower, that the moment you step into the shower, you know, if that's the place, you go through these affirmations. You state the new paradigm. And that's what will help make it easier for you.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I think I'm talked out.
Well, we covered it.
I think so.
Right on time.
Perfect. So we have time for some questions.
Sure. Okay. So I will toggle the mute, and if you want to ask a question, on this bridge line, the mute feature is *6, and unmuting is *7. So if you are not speaking or going to speak, then press *6. And if you are already on mute and you want to speak, then press *7. And we'd love to hear, you know, what you have to say about all this and what questions you might have. So I'm going to unmute you right now.
Hello, Frankie.
Hi.
It's Sandy here.
Hi, Sandy.
From Australia. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I had a question about maybe if you could give an example when you said the interpretation of your inner voice could be wrong.
Well, because when you don't take it at face value because it's not convenient or you don't like what it's saying, you may misinterpret it. You know, you may put a spin on it that isn't true. So what I really mean by it is take what the inner voice says to you literally, okay, because it's not, it doesn't soften the language, it doesn't, you know, it's just giving you the straight goods.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that's not what you want to hear, especially around relationships. You know, if you're in a new relationship, the inner voice is talking to you about what is happening, and what it's telling you, you may not want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it seems to me that your limiting beliefs and your fears, your inner critic, might be causing you to not pay attention to or to not correctly interpret your inner voice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Does that answer your question, Sandy?
Yep.
Thanks. Anyone else?
I do have a question.
Yes, who's this?
How are you? Sebastian from Miami. How are you?
Hey, hi, Sebastian.
Thank you, Frankie and Steve. So in the step of rewiring, when the first week 50 times a day, then 40 and 30, it comes to a time where all we hear is the inner voice.
Yes, about that. Yes.
Yeah. So my question is consider, assuming the inner voice is us, or who is listening, like, it seems like there's two entities there, one speaking and one listening. So I always, you know, have been entertaining that, you know, question, and I can't find an answer yet.
I'm not quite certain what the question
like,
is.
Like, for instance, if the inner voice is speaking, right, to us.
Yes.
And we're listening. Obviously, there's a dialogue.
Yes.
So, my question is, who is talking? I mean, yeah, the inner voice, but who is talking and who is listening?
Well, it seems to me the conscious mind is the one listening.
Yeah, yeah.
So your awareness, your consciousness, is listening to your inner voice and your inner critic. That's the inner dialogue. And the subconscious mind is listening too, but it's not filtering. It's just taking everything in. Your conscious mind is the one that can figure out who's talking and what it means.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And also, just something that occurred to me when you were talking, Sebastian, is the inner critic is all about chatter. Talk, 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 talk. Okay? The inner voice is not about a bunch of chatter. It's about single thoughts. It's about feelings, impressions. Like, they're deep, they're quiet, they're softer. Okay, so you really have to pay attention.
And can it be like the inner voice stretches you? Because, like you say, it encourages you, so it takes you out of your comfort zone? In a positive way?
I think so.
It can, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And the inner critic is probably more biased towards having you stay within your comfort zone.
Yes, exactly.
Or you don't want to do that, or you can't do that.
Does that answer your question, Sebastian?
Yeah, thank you very much, Frank.
Great question, thank you. Anybody else? What's on your mind about managing the inner critic and the inner voice and the conscious and subconscious and rewiring yourself for success?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, hi. It's Francesca.
Hi, Francesca.
Oh, hi, Francesca.
Hi. First of all, thank you. I really appreciate this seminar. And I also had a rather powerful experience of my inner voice one time when I was walking down the street late, it was at night, and two rough-looking kids came up to me, and there was immediately a voice saying, "Don't react." And I realized afterwards that they were going to, you know, they were just waiting for me to get angry, and they were going to make things escalate. So that was a very clear inner voice, and it kept me safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that when I'm in danger, I know that there's something there that can help. However, I have definitely experienced the obscuring of the inner voice when it comes to relationships, and so I was wondering if you had any suggestions about how to get unobscured.
Well, what I find when I am wavering or I'm on the fence or I'm just not clear, what I do is I try and quiet my mind and, you know, go into a place where it is very quiet as well. And I simply ask, you know, here's the question, what should I do, this or should I do that? And I will hear a yes or a no. And so I follow it because I've asked, you know, I'm going to follow the advice that I've been given. And so it just takes practice. You have to just, you know, mm-hmm. just do that. If you're not sure, the voice will speak to you.
And it also seems, for me at least, that I have to let go of my own agenda.
Oh, you do, because it's not about, because once you get the answer that you don't want, okay, then that sometimes happens. It's not the answer I want, and especially in relationships, you know. Should I stay with this person? No. Well, you know, he's a good person. You start to qualify. Mm-hmm. It doesn't serve your purpose, you know. No matter what, just trust the inner voice. Trust what it's telling you.
Okay. I think we get
so many Ask the Coach questions online, and the common theme is, should I stay or should I go?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There's this wrong about it, and there's that wrong about it, and it's not working for me because of this, not working for me because of that. But I love them, but I don't know if it'll get better. What should I do? And almost always, you know, from what we can see, they really need to unchoose the relationship. They really need to get out of it, and they're just rationalizing that it might be different.
Exactly.
So it's rationalizing that's keeping them there, and their inner voice is probably telling them, you know, this is not right for you. This is not right for you. But
and stop
not really...
and stop overthinking it. You know, stop overthinking it. Just get out. You know.
Yeah.
Just
now
move on.
Now the reason why somebody might want to leave a relationship that's good, you know, involves fear of intimacy, fear of commitment, you know, fear of success, fear of closeness.
Yeah. Yeah.
That here you have this great relationship and you're afraid of it. I suppose that is possible, but the way more common thing that we're seeing is people are rationalizing themselves into the bad relationship because they're afraid to get out.
Yeah,
and so
but I think
it's not really unclear.
Yeah, but I think
it feels
what you said,
unclear. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It feels unclear. That's why they write to us. That's why they're so confused. It feels unclear. But it's not really unclear. It's unclear because they're rationalizing. It's unclear mm-hmm. because the inner critic and their fears are keeping them there for a number of reasons. Maybe they fear that they won't be loved, that nobody else will ever want them. They're going to be alone for the rest of their life. That's a common one.
Yeah. And I think what you said is very important. You need to pay attention to those fears, those limiting beliefs, and what the inner critic is telling you, just as much as you need to pay attention, but for a different reason, just as much as you need to pay attention to the inner voice, because what the inner critic is telling you, it reveals what's going on, you know, why, that these are some of the issues that you have. And so it's just about awareness. Everything is about awareness. I mean, it's about being conscious and making choices around that.
And I find also that what you were saying about the chatter, that helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If it's chatter, 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 then I know that that's more probably from fear of intimacy or, you know, the limiting beliefs.
Whereas you know, the inner voice is much like the soft-spoken, man-of-few-words gunslinger of the Old West, you know. When he talks, you listen. He doesn't talk much, though. Okay.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Francesca.
Thank you.
Do we have any other questions? David, my computer, my line is down, so I can't see the online questions.
Okay. Answers for page 4. That's a question we have online. Going to the study guide on page 4, we have the 5 steps there. We also have section 6. What does this mean? It means that if you know how to
communicate
with the subconscious mind,
change the way it thinks, And by visualizing what you want, and you need to format those thoughts in the present tense.
Okay. And then section 7, we can rewire our thinking by following these 5 steps. Become aware of your limiting beliefs, pay attention to the internal dialogue, decipher their meaning, and identify your limiting beliefs.
Right.
And step 2, catch and cancel the limiting belief. No, that's not true. And be aware every time the inner critic speaks to you, cancel that negative thought. Step 3, what's step 3 again?
State the new belief.
State the new belief.
And state the new truth, because that is your truth now.
Right.
And then 4 is repeat the process. And 5 is set aside time for affirmation every day to affirm your vision and goals. We did have someone who had a question as you're just reading that, David. Who had the question?
So, any other questions before we close?
Can I make a little comment?
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Sandy again here. You know how you always say, I am such and such, to refute the criticism?
Right.
I actually use sometimes, you are, and I hear a voice coming from behind me, because that's for how it was programmed in by my parents who were critical saying things.
Hmm.
And I find that works really well as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Very good, Sandy. Thank you.
We did have a gentleman who I think had a question.
Yes, it's Sebastian. If you allow me, I had a follow-up question to the one before. I don't know if we have time.
Sure,
we do.
Yeah. No, because I when your answer, it left me thinking about it seems to me like we always have the inner voice and the inner critic speaking, but the difference is when we're listening to our conscious mind or with our subconscious mind. I don't know if I'm correct. So I see like the inner voice, it's always speaking, and the inner critic as well. But when we choose to listen with the conscious mind is when we get the guidance.
Yes.
And when we listen to the subconscious mind is when we sometimes get in trouble.
Yes, because when you are present in your conscious mind, you are aware of everything that's going on. And so you're bringing that consciousness to what is being said. And either it is in alignment with what you want or it is not. Okay? So it's really important to just pay attention and to give some thought to what does that mean? You know? Whether it's, doesn't matter who's speaking, the inner critic or the inner voice, what does it mean to me? Because it's, it's not in isolation. It's about everything in your life. And so these are little pieces. It's like little pieces to the puzzle, and you have to figure it out.
Right. The conscious mind is the reasoning one that will understand the difference and figure out which one is the inner critic, which one is the inner voice. The subconscious mind can't reason at all. It just takes everything in. And you don't have control over it.
And
the conscious mind is where you have control.
And just one example where you decide to make the conscious mind work for any task. You said that sometimes it gives task, the conscious mind to the subconscious mind. So how can we make it productive other than just by paying attention and see the unproductive areas? So what would be an example of making the subconscious mind productive?
Well, you take any limiting belief that is holding you back. This is about dating. So let's say you have a fear of rejection. And so every time you want to go out, you have this, the inner critic says, no one's going to like you. Women think you're, this or that, and they're just going to laugh at you. You're not going to be successful. May as well stay home. Okay? So what you can do consciously now is you can say, no, that's not true. Women like me. I have fun when I go out. I'm engaging. You know, I make women laugh, and they have fun, and you know, they really enjoy me. That's the type of thing. That's a practical application for this process. So it just depends on what's going on in your life. What are those limiting beliefs that are not working for you?
Right.
You can
it's programming,
change?
Just the way you would program a computer. You're programming your subconscious mind. You have the inner critic going on. You have the inner voice going on. But your conscious mind has the ability to program the subconscious.
So,
does that make
Sebastian,
sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
The recommendation I would make is take a look at, you know, maybe your top two or three limiting beliefs in an area where you want to affect some real change, and then reword them, state the new belief, and then try this process and see how it works. It does work.
Okay. The recommendation I would make is take a look at...
We can hear that webcast. 15 seconds behind.
Oh, okay. Does that help you, Sebastian?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. So, any final questions?
Yes, I have one.
Okay.
And it is, David, I think that you said that the subconscious mind has no control. But it does have control because we're living from those subconscious beliefs.
The subconscious mind has no filters, and it doesn't have control over what comes in. And
okay.
The subconscious mind is the source of your inner critic and your inner voice, and the conscious mind is where you have control. You do not have control over your subconscious mind. However, you do have control over your conscious mind, which can then control and program the subconscious mind. Does that make sense? It's like you cannot control the weather, and if it's raining, you can't make it stop raining, but you can choose to get an umbrella and put it up over your head.
Or stay inside.
And that's your conscious choice, while your subconscious is raining all over you.
Okay, thanks. That clears it up.
Okay.
Thanks for the question. Any other questions? We'll take maybe one more.
Well, I have a question, actually.
Okay.
This would be how does one create the new belief? How does one word it in such a way that really resonates? Because I find that when I'm trying to do this, I find that they're sometimes too wordy. And I just get a little bit distracted, and I don't know how to do it any other way.
Yeah, that's really a good point, because you have to. My suggestion is write it out as it flows. So you know, just get all the words on the paper, and then take a look at it and edit it, because it's got to be short. Like it can't be a paragraph or three paragraphs.
Right.
You're going to fall asleep before you get it out.
Mine are too long. That's right.
Yeah. So just. You know, five or six words, what's the salient point? You know, is it that I'm afraid of meeting women? Okay? I am confident when meeting women. How succinct is that? You know, so whatever works, but it's got to be brief, because when that limiting belief, when that inner critic presents that limiting belief, you have to say no and then state the new belief, and it's got to be really crisp. Otherwise, you won't do it.
Well, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So less is more.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite techniques is by giving it a score from 0 to 10. And if the score is less than what you want it to be, then play with it until the score increases. Change the wording, edit it, take some words out, put some words in. You know, you're looking for it to be strongly resonating, like, you know, an 8, 9, or a 10. So that's just a way to quantify something that is intangible, just kind of gives you a direction.
Okay.
The point is, you want this. This is a simple process, and so you can make it work, but just keep it simple. Okay, and the key to keeping it simple and being effective is that you have to practice it. If it becomes too cumbersome, that you know, halfway through you say, oh gosh, I forget what I'm supposed to do, it's not going to be effective. So, you know, very
well,
short.
Well, that just brings in a thought that I had that I've had for a long time now, and if I could ask this, it's the thing where I'm finding that if I start with a belief that's hard for me to believe, it just doesn't sink in. I feel almost like I need to gradually do it, you know, to state a belief that's a little bit closer to what I could actually accept as, you know, eventually becoming true. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And a lot of people see that as an obstacle, you know, that they have a difficulty moving from where they are to where they would really love to be, like they need to take baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's just as simple to take a baby step as it is to jump, you know, 20 feet
okay. In
the realm we're talking about. So my recommendation is go for it. And when I'm talking about to what you really want, to the big dream. It's just as easy to dream big as it is to dream small, so may as well dream big. And when you start to say, oh, but I can't attain that, that's the inner critic. So say, no, I am this. You know, that's
okay.
The process. Does that make sense, Francesca?
Well, it does. I mean, I feel like I had an experience where, you know, someone that I basically prayed for showed up in my life immediately the next day after praying really hard and or visualizing, you know, the same thing.
Yeah.
And I ran in 100 different directions. I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it came to me, and I ran.
This stuff works, and especially, you know, it does work with the law of attraction. And sometimes it's scary because it can happen really quickly, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Well, you know, it's understandable if it's a belief that you don't believe, like, I can fly.
Right.
Well, you know, but most of the time, if it's a belief that is totally possible and it's what you want, you know, I am healthy, wealthy, and wise, or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and you have some resistance to it, you don't really agree to say, no, I'm not healthy, no, I'm not wealthy, and no, I'm not wise. Well, that's your inner critic talking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so now you have the process, how to deal with it.
Yeah, and along with what I have been doing, then I need to add, and I am capable of being in a relationship that I want. Because I think
Absolutely.
That's what happened, is I felt completely incapable, and I just ran.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll paralyze you.
Yeah, it sure did.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question about phrasing a belief, and it is... in saying, I deserve to be loved. That doesn't seem to be in the present tense to me.
How about I deserve love?
Because to be loved means, what?
Yeah.
I deserve love is what I would say, yeah. And that's, but okay.
Yeah, perfect.
So to say to be something really
right.
is keeping it in the future.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, and you can also say, I am loved, because you're bringing that future point into the present. So
right.
remember, the subconscious doesn't deal with future. So even though it sounds funny, I am loved,
mm-hmm.
even though that your partner is not in your face yet, they're on their way to you. Okay, so try and make that stretch, that leap, and believe that's going to happen, but
yeah.
state it in the present.
Great, thanks.
Okay. Do we have someone else who had a question? No?
Oh, you're good, Frankie.
Okay, well, I think we'll wrap up then. We're
okay.
almost a half hour over.
Yeah.
This is a great call. really appreciate, we both do, the questions and the interest. Now, next month, October 4th, is our next Conscious Dating teleseminar, and our topic is practical tips for the first 3 dates. Not the first 4 or the first 5, but the first 3. So I hope you'll join us then. And if you didn't get the study guide for tonight's program, you can download it at ConsciousDatingSeminar.com. And if you want the audio and telescript, it's ConsciousDatingAudio.com. And thank you for joining us, and good night.
Thanks for joining us.
You.
See you next time.
Bye.